Hello, and welcome to Nintendo World Report Connectivity, episode 397. Just coming hot off that Nintendo Partner Showcase Direct thing. And did anybody find it weird when the big reveal was a game published by Nintendo that people largely didn't care about? Anybody? No? Well, I'm Neil Ronahan. John Raritan's joining me, and we're like a month late to the
Howdy, everybody.
Direct.
Yeah, me and Neil talked, we've been talking for a while about, like, the problem with committing to doing this show every week is that it means that we're not doing something for NWR somewhere else. So we kind of made a joint decision to just sort of do episodes whenever we feel like it.
Yeah.
This is that.
Yep. Yeah, so we did not. We were actually trying to schedule a record a show after the Direct last month. It just never happened. I have to say, I like Endless Ocean a lot.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I don't think Endless Ocean is end of a Direct. Like, guess what's back, guys?
I mean, in a year where most of your releases are remasters, Endless Ocean does have the distinction of being a new game.
Yeah, that is true. I haven't updated the Port Doza list anymore. I have over the years. I don't think I've really I do it on the side. Might actually open up the Google Doc during this podcast because I'm thinking of it now and there's only like two games to add. But yeah, I mean, like Endless Ocean, I was harsh on it when it first got announced because it was very funny hearing the voiceover be like, you can look at all these beautiful creatures in this awesome underwater. And I'm like, this is going to look like shit compared to like all other video games that you can play right now. It is.
Yeah.
Look at this beautiful water effects on a console that is a decade technically old. Like,
I mean, it looks better than the last Endless Ocean.
Yeah, but
that Nintendo exists in a vacuum where there are no other games. Yeah. This is the peak.
Yep. I mean, if it can capture that serenity that Endless Ocean Blue World had, which I had a blast with, it was a game that I fell asleep to, but I mean that in the most positive way you can ever say that you fell asleep to a game when you weren't that tired.
It's the serenity of deep sea diving with, like, what, 16 other people in online multiplayer?
Yeah, like, if the single player is good for this, I am there with bells on. If it's just like, you gotta play, if it's like that Mario Strikers Battle League,
yeah,
nah, dog, I'm skipping it.
Well, if it's like Mario Strikers Battle League, then at launch, like, the online mode will be there, but none of the functions will be turned on yet, which was a fascinating decision for Mario. It's like nobody told them they forgot what day it came out and just didn't have anything turned on for a week. And then by the time that week was over, everyone was bored of the game.
Yeah,
I still have never. I played a lot of that game online. Never played any of it once the actual season started.
Yeah, no, it was. I think that game. I mean, the biggest fault with a game from 2 years ago is that Mario Strikers, you need to go through a tutorial in order to play that game with people, which makes it a functionally useless party game, or even just like playing with people on a couch.
Yeah,
so it's good that they had the online mode, but I just think it's you messed up.
Feels like they misunderstood what made that game work in the first place.
There's some explaining that has to be done if you sit somebody down with Strikers or Strikers Charged, the GameCube and Wii releases. But there was still there was a very simplistic way to explain that. Like, I definitely had a lot of pick up and play moments with both of those games when I tried that. With some of those very same friends that I played Strikers and Strikers Charged with, they were just like, what is even happening now?
Mm-hmm.
I did loan my copy to a friend of mine in the hopes that maybe he will learn how to play it. But he's the kind of person that will learn how to play it and then kick my ass in it.
Well, that's something. Anyway, what were we talking? We're so behind that we're talking about a game from 2 years ago.
Yep. What else is up? I don't know.
Nintendo games. Like ended all emulation and piracy forever.
Yeah,
that was neat.
I mean, Yuzu's just a bunch of idiots. Like, that's really what it comes down to. They're just dum-dums.
Yep. Yeah, emulation largely good. Seems like those guys were just dumb.
And the worst consequence of that is, and I am a person, probably the average bear in this world. It's not that It's not that I would say I'm totally anti-piracy. I just like in terms of the Switch, it is an active console. Can we like wait until it's like retired before we start pirating it?
I'm anti-pirate. If there is a way, this applies to like movies and music and games and all that. If there is a way to acquire the thing legally, like if the rights holder is actively selling it, then do that. Yeah. If it's something where literally the only way you can play something is to download a ROM because no one is actively, it's not for sale anywhere. Like any, you know, maybe a digital like 3DS. Only 3DS game. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and that's the tragedy of Yuzu is that Citra, which was made by the same company, which I didn't know until this lawsuit came up that they were the same folks. But Citra's kind of DOA. Well, so, I mean, it's still around, but I guess there's forks of it.
I believe already has two active branches.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because, for that one, they did not. I'm not sure exactly what the legal situation was, but for Citra, they were not required to take the source code down, I guess.
Okay.
So, like, that has, like, they are not working on it, but it is still being actively developed. And even Yuzu, I fully expect that'll pop back up under different names.
All right, important question for the Portdoza line.
Sure.
So another Code Recollection, that is a full remake.
Yes.
So to catch people up to speed for a thing that I wrote an article about 4 years ago and makes me laugh. I bucket games into four categories: new games, full remakes, enhanced ports, straight ports. The way it works is that each full game counts as one, and then each of the it is new games don't count as anything. It is basically there's a mathematical formula that has how many ports it was, where straight ports is just a 1-to-1, enhanced ports is a 3/4 of a point, full remake is a 0.5, and new games are 0. And it's all about that. I have a formula that I made that I don't feel like explaining now. but full remakes, so full remake, that's another Code Recollection. Mario versus Donkey Kong, I'd call that an enhanced port.
What did you call Metroid Prime?
Enhanced port.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm looking back at Metroid Prime and I'm like, should I call it a straight port instead?
So Metroid Prime is more of a port than Donkey Kong is.
Yeah.
Like, because Metroid Prime is the same source code. Donkey Kong is not. Donkey Kong also has two new worlds.
Yeah. I think I feel good with enhanced port for that.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
And then Princess Peach and Endless Ocean are both new games.
Yep.
The other two games that we have announced, Paper Mario and Luigi's Mansion 2, granted, this can change once the games come out. I think they're both just that, like, are they just straight ports? Are they enhanced? So, I guess they're enhanced ports.
I mean, so Luigi's Mansion seems, I mean, graphically, that kind of just looks like a straight port. Paper Mario, I think you could make the argument that if it's 30 frames per second, it's actually a downgraded port. like, it looks prettier, but like, it probably won't play as well.
I apparently have Miitopia I had as a straight port.
That's so maybe probably technically true.
I'm gonna kind of split the difference and make Paper Mario temporarily an enhanced port and Luigi's Mansion 2 technically a straight port. So that gives us so far in 2024 the highest Portdoza line on record.
That tracks.
At 50%. The lowest was 2022 that had a 4.2% Portdoza line, largely because they barely put out video games.
Right.
That only had 12 games that I had counted in this. The only thing that wasn't a new game was Live Alive, which I had as a full remake. Arguably could have been called a new game.
Right. It was a new game depending on where you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's just go through. Switch 2017. It was 15.9%. Notable enhanced ports, Mario Kart, or notable ports, you have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Pocket DX, yeah, those are basically the only two ports on record. You had 11 games on Switch in 2017. In 2018, it was very high. It was 40.5%, the second highest total ever.
That was all the Wii U games, right?
Yeah. That's also because there were 21 games that they put out. You had straight ports. You had DQ Builders, Bayonetta 1 and 2, Tropical Freeze, Captain Toad, Go Vacation, The World Ends With You. 2019 was solid, 10.5%. 2020 was 34.4%. 2021, 30%. And then, yeah, 2022. An almost perfect year when it comes to new game content.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you feeling about the first half of Switch in 2024?
So I was expecting Paper Mario to be like November. I was expecting that to be like their Christmas game.
And Mario.
Yep. So honestly, the fact that everything they have announced is going to be besides Metroid, everything they have announced is going
and
to
Pokemon.
Be out.
I forgot.
That's true.
Yeah, but like Pokemon like doesn't get any knocks against it because they announced it and they said 2025.
Yes.
So it's kind of like,
so that doesn't count.
Yeah.
But everything they've announced for Nintendo this year is coming out by the end of June.
And technically, I don't even think Prime 4 was announced for this year. It's still TBD.
Yeah, it's never had a year tied to it.
But as far as unannounced games from Nintendo, there are two games for Switch that do not have release dates.
Yeah, and I do think that's important to highlight with Pokemon, because I saw a lot of people throwing around like, oh, they're holding that off for the launch of Switch 2. And it could totally be a cross-platform game, but I do think it's worth pointing out that like the Switch logo is on that trailer.
Yeah.
So I would assume that at the very least it will come to both. But it might just be a Switch game that also maybe runs on Switch 2. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know what back compat's going to be.
I don't know if I want Game Freak developing two versions of the game. I guess that would be like their normal Pokemon thing. But I'd want them to just have some time. Yeah. I know that game's not going to come out in November of 2025, but I really would like it to.
Yeah.
Like I want them to have
I honestly kind of expect that to be Q1 and probably be maybe the final Switch release before the next console.
I could even see them timing it to be like literally a cross platform.
Yeah.
It comes out on both and has like an enhanced version on Switch 2.
We also have not recorded since that got announced Pokemon Legends ZA. I don't know. How are we calling it?
Is that what we're doing?
I don't know.
Pokemon Legends ZA. Legends ZA. It's like saying Legends, but you're Metallica. It's like, so it's like Legends ZA.
EA Sports FECA.
Yeah.
Pokemon Legends ZA. I think the name is a little silly. However, that is one of my most anticipated games. Very happy to see another Legends game.
Yep.
And it is a little bit of justice of Pokemon X and Y are games that I recognize seem to be a punching bag for a lot of the Pokemon community. I enjoyed playing them when they came out. It was also like just a time in my life where it like played a lot of 3DS games, enjoyed romping through that game. It is a Pokemon game that I think most of the other ones from that era, like I've thought about again. One I have not. Outside of Hawlucha, I think that's a very good Pokemon. They should give that Pokemon an evolution in Legends ZA.
I remember, so I played X. I remember nothing about it. The only thing I remember is that when it came out, I downloaded it in the middle of the night because I got it digitally because that was like a brand new thing at the time. Got it digitally, downloaded it in the middle of the night at a Perkins. I don't know if Perkins as a restaurant expands to where you are, but
I've seen a Perkins in my day.
They're garbage, but they're open 24/7.
Yep.
So yeah, I was definitely sitting in like a booth there downloading Pokemon over their crappy Wi-Fi.
My story, and this is also why I probably have a little bit of like nostalgia for it, even if I don't really remember the game specifically. It came out over New York Comic Con. Mm-hmm. And this was back when I there were like video game things to cover. Nintendo did stuff at New York Comic Con. Specifically, I think they might have had some kind of, I forget if it was Pokemon X and Y or another Pokemon game around there, where like they just straight up had an event like a block or two away. that I believe Nintendo World Report, ex-Nintendo World Report staffer, Nintendo World Report alumni, Josh Max, who I also went to high school with, and he recently had a child. Congrats, Josh. Yay. And family. But Josh was living in New York City. I met up with him for New York Comic Con. Yeah, we covered the event, and we were going to go to the Nintendo World Store opening for Pokemon X and Y. But we were like busy at the convention. So by the time we got there, the line was wrapping around the entirety of Rockefeller Plaza, where the store is. And so we saw that, and he was like, "Hey, I've got a friend working at a bar near my apartment." And we went there and hung out, and then went back to his apartment after getting stopping at a Checkers, which I don't know if you have any of those by them. Yep, garbage.
I'm familiar with Checkers. Yep.
You've been in a Checkers before.
Yep.
I got the curly fries. That's what I remember from that, because we went to a bar beforehand. So why would I remember every detail? And then got to his apartment, and it was like perfectly timed at midnight. And then we downloaded Pokemon X and Y. And then I played it throughout New York Comic Con.
Nice. But yeah, no,
I will not be living that experience for Pokemon Legends. Zah.
No. But I'm very enticed. The thing that I missed when they showed the trailer that they talked about later in like a tweet was that the game takes place entirely in the city,
yeah,
which is a big word to just sneak in there. And I'm excited for that. I don't know what that means, but like, sure, let's do weird things.
It's a thing that I forgot if I talked about it on the show. I know I talked about it with you. Replayed Pokemon Let's Go recently. Mm-hmm. And also actually booted up Legends Arceus and like played through the first area of that. But Pokemon Let's Go and Arceus, and even jank aside, even Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, Sword and Shield, Game Freak is a very good developer. Like,
right,
they design wise they're extremely smart. There's a reason why a lot of these other like RIP Temtem, which I do have to say Temtem tried, but I think it's a key thing for me, and I gave Temtem a shot, and I think they got the closest to it. But there's a very specific alchemy that Game Freak has learned over the years and is very good at like that balance of making you want to catch them all. Mm-hmm. That some of it is like, I have to, you know, I started playing these games when I was 10 years old. So there's a degree of nostalgia to it. But it's something that I feel like similar games have never really been able to catch that je ne sais quoi that Game Freak does a good job of. And that's why with Legends, Legend Za is I'm excited for whatever they come up with. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, because Legends Arceus, I can poke holes in that. I can poke hole in Scarlet and Violet and Let's Go, but the basic gameplay loop in all of those games, extremely awesome. Like even Scarlet and Violet, like that, the open world stuff that they did rocks. It's just that occasionally you will be out in the open world for too long and your Pokemon that you have walking around with you stops animating and just like shuffles around until you like reset the game. And
it's amazing that they managed to do as much new game design every time as they do in like a span of like 20 months of development time.
I mean
the games being broken is not surprising. Them delivering a game in that amount of time is.
And it's even, I mean, replaying another direct announcement of Pocket Card Jockey Ride On coming to Switch, a Game Freak game. I don't even know exactly what the breakdown is of like the smaller teams that work on some of these projects versus who's working on Pokemon games. But Pocket Card Jockey is just an immaculately developed game in the way that like it is a game where you don't really need to know how it all works in order to have fun with it, which is a very difficult thing to do in game design.
Yep. Yeah, I'll bet that had no extreme rush to get out. They were probably just able to make Pocket Card Jockey.
I mean, I know it was probably one of those things where Apple probably funded part of it because it was an Apple Arcade game.
Yeah. Once they did the...
And it is, I mean, like this, the one that came out is basically just like... honestly, if I had to throw that into my Portoza line, it might be more enhanced port.
Sure.
Or full remake, like that is I think they might have said it's a sequel. It's not.
Sure. Like,
it is basically the 3DS game, just like updated and refined.
Yeah.
But even if I think Princess Peach Showtime, the demo that came out, and even just some of the more we see about that game, the more I'm like, oh, this is extremely designed for children.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that Goodfeel's apparently developing it, which that's neat. I think it is designed for kids in a way that no other Goodfeel game has actually been designed for kids. Maybe Kirby's Epic Yarn, but I don't know. There's a whole like.
I mean, I hear that game's like a 10 out of 10. So
it is. It is. I mean, I'm more thinking back to when people gave me shit for giving that game a 10 out of 10, which I stand by and will stand by until the day I die. But like Kirby's Epic Yarn is like that shit is art, both in the visuals and how that game all builds together. It's just that the point of Kirby's Epic Yarn is not to be difficult, which is why the 3DS release that added like a difficulty modifier was stupid. And then Woolly World and Crafted World, I think, are both very good games. Even if Woolly World, I'm the weird person where I think I like Crafted World more than Woolly World, but they're both fine.
I never finished either of them because
good for you.
No Yoshi game has been good since the N64.
I mean,
or before the N64, it was just the N64 one.
It's when I talk with you, I would say that Yoshi's Story is overrated. But only because of I think you overrate it, but in the context of the world, highly underrated game that gets way too much shit and is very much ahead of its time, very quirky and weird. And I love it when I think I just have a boner for when people it's like, oh, you really like that game? Well, we're going to do something completely different and rethink the concept of what the style of game would be.
Yep. Yeah, Yoshi's Story really is the Chrono Cross of the Yoshi franchise.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
Get Masato Kato making a Yoshi game, and then we're cooking with gas.
Yep.
But Princess Peach Showtime seems very minimal interaction. You're kind of just running around tapping a button every now and then.
Yeah.
But my son is super into it. I think him at five, almost six, is maybe the sweet spot for who that game is made for.
Yeah.
It does the Nintendo thing where it still requires way too much reading for what the gameplay level might be at. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's for better or worse, that game will be entering my house when it comes out.
Yeah. There's like a non-zero chance I just buy it anyway. I don't expect to like super enjoy it, but I'm just curious enough that I might just still go for it.
Yeah. It's charming enough. Like I heard people like honestly, some of the visuals do look a little janky. Like it's totally fine. Like I'm fun going through that romp. Music seems fine. And especially with a kid being into it, it makes it a lot easier to justify.
Yeah.
But then the rest of the lineup for the first half of the year, we have Endless Ocean Luminous. At the end of April or early May. I know they announced one release date and then it was wrong. I think it's early May. I think there was a press release that went out that said it was coming out April 30th. I know that one got
corrected. Yeah. So I don't know what the correct date is. And also
Nintendo games after Princess Peach Showtime are coming out on Thursdays. Since I believe 2013, Nintendo releases have been coming out on Fridays. I think before then it was Sunday was the typical release date.
May 2nd is the release date for Endless Ocean, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. And I believe, that is a Thursday.
Yep.
Weird. I'm not used to this. I don't like it. I want to say I think it was the Wii U was when release dates started going to Friday.
I think that's what went wrong. They were fine and then they moved to Friday and suddenly their systems don't sell as well. So
until the Switch, in which case,
and then it moved back to Thursday.
But it's been Friday. It's been Friday for years.
That sounds like revisionist history to me. I think it's always been Thursday.
This all just comes to there's spreadsheets that are like, well, people are more willing to buy it on these days. I wouldn't be shocked, honestly, if some of it has to do with shipping.
That's what I was going to bring up is that. If you've been paying attention, and obviously, like, I have a very small sample size of this, but I've talked to some people who work at other retailers and things. And it's not just Nintendo, but a lot of different places, a lot of different companies have run into a lot of logistical shipping issues. And Nintendo especially has been really bad. Like, games occasionally just not arriving. Like, they, if they come out on Friday and they miss arriving by that day, it means they don't get there. They don't get there on Saturday or Sunday. They get there on Monday. Yeah. So, like, I mean, Thursday, if you miss that day, at least you get them before the weekend.
Yep. And I think that's probably part of it. Because I've noticed, really, it's, I'd probably label it at post-COVID.
Yeah.
Did have, I mean, like, the biggest indictment is, I mean, it happened to me, where, I mean, I also had two copies of Tears of the Kingdom coming to my house, because me and my wife both bought it. So only one of those copies got here on Friday. The other copy didn't get here until Monday.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was something that I was not an isolated incident. I heard a lot of people that pre-ordered Tears of the Kingdom. Some of it was the collector's edition, but it was even people just getting normal copies from what I remember.
Yep. Well, and as recently as another code, I did not see until like the following Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Mario vs. Donkey Kong, I wound up getting, it got shipped to me on the Saturday. And even Princess Peach Showtime, I had to switch it to in-store pickup because I'm not going to actually be home the day it comes out and going to, you know, get it for the kids. They're actually going to be staying at a grandparent's house, so I might set them up with Princess Peach Showtime and then go run away. But I changed it to in-store pickup, and the in-store pickup isn't a, they're like, yeah, we'll probably get it Saturday.
Yeah.
So they're not even guaranteeing that I'll be able to pick it up on Friday.
And I do think that some of that, and we have, there's a history of this for Nintendo shipping things, but Nintendo occasionally gets in a mood. And I mean, we're seeing this right now as far as like what outlets they decide to give review copies to. And I think we might be seeing similar things with their shipping, where I think to fight leaks where they perceive those leaks to be, even though I think that objectively it has been proven time and time again, it's not where they are. They're shipping things later, trying to have them sitting in back rooms for less time. I will say, the version of Tears of the Kingdom that leaked onto the internet was not from a retail location. That was way too early. That was probably a factory. But I think that on some level, they're trying to prevent that from happening. They seem to be really going after that right now. And I think you look at the how few places are getting review copies right now, us included. You look at how late things are shipping to stores, and you look at them going after Yuzu. And I think there's a very consistent theme of them being very suddenly worried about leaks. I shouldn't say suddenly worried. They've been worried, but they're seems like they're really taking a lot of action over the last like year or two against it. Getting back around to the release schedule. The fact that this stuff is going to be out by the end of June, everything that we know of, is super exciting to me, because it signals to me that they have some confidence in whatever they have in the fall. Yeah. Because if they wanted to, they could have stretched this out. They could have had Paper Mario be a November game or an October game or something. Luigi's Mansion should be an October game. It's a spooky game, release it on Halloween. But that's just, you know, personal preference. But it makes me feel like, okay, like they must have something. Like, they must have a Christmas game.
Right? They're not just going to punt the year away, I would assume, right?
Not. Even if they do have Switch 2. I mean, and maybe, you know, hypothetically, maybe there's an argument that if they're going to announce Switch 2 in November, they like want to get Switch games clear of it. I don't know. I don't think they would do that. But no, I feel like, you know, fingers crossed, maybe something like Metroid Prime hits in October or November.
I'm very excited at the prospect of a new Metroid Prime game.
Yeah. I'm not going to bet money on that.
Yeah.
But I think it could happen.
But yeah, I mean, it has been 17 years since the last Metroid Prime game.
Well,
they put out five. OK, mainline Metroid Prime game. Is that
lesser Metroid Prime, not like the peak Metroid Prime games.
Yeah,
of
not
like
Federation Force.
Federation Force, Pinball,
but like, do you
Hunters,
think that
the real trilogy.
Metroid Prime 3 came out in 2007.
Yeah.
If you were born the day that game came out, you'd be a junior or a senior in high school.
Yeah. Yep.
Crazy pants. Crazy pants.
Yep.
Or I guess sophomore, junior. You'd be like 16 years old right now if you came out. If you came out the day the game, if you were born.
If you had a similar release date.
Yes. And that's one where I'll feel if you, the prospective person born in August 2007, I was in college when you were born. That makes me feel weird.
I was a sophomore in high school. I was the age that person would be now. Which is weird.
Yeah, that doesn't make you feel old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I love it. But yeah, and then I guess the other rumory stuff we have is that maybe Switch 2 is coming out in 2025. There's been a bunch of going back and forth on what the date of this thing that does not legally exist yet is going to be.
Yeah.
Talks about delays and things, which I don't know if you can delay it when it doesn't exist. But
yeah, it is one of the, like, I feel like I've just gotten tired of this, where it's like, yes, Nintendo's making a new console. I think back to something that I later verified as like, no, that was always the plan, is that there was at least murmurs, maybe not reports, that Breath of the Wild was supposed to come out holiday 2016 and they delayed it at the last minute. Then I have talked to people very close to that game who said that is not true.
It does seem like if you have a Switch version, you would wait to have a Switch to put it out on.
It might have been the kind of thing that, like, maybe at one point they're like, maybe it'll be out like holiday 2016. But like, I believe throughout like the entirety of the year 2016, they were like, all right, March 2017, that's when this game is coming out.
Yeah.
And like the Switch, like yes, there might have been a time Switch might have been circled about like, we're aiming for around holiday 2016. Mm-hmm. But as far as I know, in hindsight, they got to a point where they're like, all right, this is coming out Q1 2017. That's the plan. And I highly theorize that in the case of Switch 2, I mean, I think this is a thing that Nintendo probably, I think COVID impacted a lot of it, but calling it coming out early 2025 as a delay for a thing that has never been announced, I would not be shocked if they were just kind of like, we are looking around holiday 2024 as to when this is going to come out.
Yeah.
Which around holiday 2024 is like March 2025.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they could essentially say end of the fiscal year.
Yep.
And that could be anywhere from Christmas to March.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it goes, like, I will say, if this one's coming out like summer 2025, yeah, then it probably got delayed.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I think, and we've talked about this it on this podcast, that I think there's a good chance they just replicate the Switch timing exactly like that.
And they also are probably holding off games to fire that launch year like they did with Switch.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, like, you'll notice that, like one of the major releases of this year was made by NST, a company that kind of only shows up in this category.
Yeah. Yeah, like, let's play the game of what developers are making games for Switch 1, and it is none of the notable developers at Nintendo.
Right. Yeah, you can essentially assume that everybody, as they finished, like, you know, obviously the Zelda team.
Splatoon, Zelda,
yep.
Mario Wonder.
Xenoblade.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of these guys, as they finished off that game, they are not making another Switch game.
I wonder when we see the next Kirby game.
It felt like we got a ton there for a second.
Because we had Forgotten Land, and a year later we had Return of Dream Land Deluxe.
Yeah, and we had Kirby Dream Buffet.
Yeah, Dream Buffet. Thing.
Yeah. That was in between those, wasn't it?
I do not think that is a good game. Very good kid game, though.
Sure.
Like, extremely good kid game. My respect for Kirby has only grown having children.
Yeah.
Hell of a man. But yeah, I mean, like, I wonder, is HAL Labs working on Switch 2? Are they done on Switch? I would not be shocked if we see another like Kirby port in the next 12 months.
Well, I guess that's a question for if there was going to be one of those studios that did still, let's say it's not Metroid Prime. Let's say there's one of those studios that could still have something out like this year, like a swan song Switch game this fall.
Yeah.
Maybe 3D Mario. But
I would think 3D Mario is year one of Switch 2.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if there's anything that's been long enough that they could squeeze out one more game on Switch.
I mean, Monolith is definitely working on a Switch 2 game. I would assume. I think, I don't know if there were job listings kind of speaking to like, we need someone who better with higher tech.
Yeah, they had some interesting job. Well, and I know their Takahashi has talked about, was it Final Fantasy 16 that he was talking about where he was like, we should make a Xenoblade like this.
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay, hopefully he means the combat and not the plot.
Yeah, like next level is probably done. I don't know if it's been confirmed that next level is doing Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. No use in asking Nintendo.
I suspect that Luigi's Mansion 2 HD is a very small team.
Yeah.
Because if you've played Luigi's Mansion, if you have had a waking dream about Luigi's Mansion 2, which can't happen because Nintendo would never allow such a thing.
No.
It looks an awful lot like that. Like, it doesn't look like they've done a whole lot graphically. So I expect that even if that is next level game, I don't know if it's the entire team. Like, that could be a small splinter group handling that.
And actually thinking about how Labs Vanpool is credited on Return to Dreamland Deluxe, and Vanpool doesn't exist anymore. So maybe I know Kirby and the Forgotten Land, the thing with that was the Kirby team was given another year. They were on like a 2-3 year dev cycle. Mm-hmm. And they were given a 3-4 year dev cycle for that.
Pays off when you give people time.
Yeah, if they continue to kind of give, unless they're doing an iterative Forgotten Land game, which I'd be fine with that.
They arguably should.
But I mean, we could there could be a Kirby game here, one of Switch 2.
Yeah. We have some listener mail that before we talk about what might happen in year one of Switch 2.
Yeah.
Feels relevant. Let's see. Do you have that handy?
I do not.
Okay. I got it. So it's from Chariot Goblin. This was sent, by the way, on February 6th. We haven't been recording episodes. This is an old email. Chariot Goblin, I assume you're still with us. Hey, Connectivity. Since we are approaching the end of the Switch, I feel it's time to reflect back on the new IPs that were published by Nintendo. Off the top of my head, we had Snipperclips, ARMS, Labo, Sushi Striker, and Astral Chain. I could be forgetting a couple. Also, I debated on even including Sushi Striker since it was cross-gen and better designed for 3DS. Regardless, how do you feel about each of the new IPs, and do you think we will see any of them on future Nintendo hardware? Thanks. Thank you, Chariot Goblin.
So, we did some brainstorming before the show, and this is the list of new IP on Switch. Snipperclips, ARMS, Astral Chain, Sushi Striker, Labo, to Game Builder Garage is kind of within the Labo framework. Mm-hmm. 1-2 Switch, Ring Fit Adventure, maybe the 99 series.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I mean, we do have like stuff like Princess Peach Showtime, which is a new game in an established franchise, but I don't know if I'd call that quite new IP. Like,
I consider it a sequel to Super Princess Peach.
Yeah, sure. Like, I would have continued Luigi's Mansion new IP for the GameCube. Some of that is also like by what comes after. If they do a Princess Peach Showtime 2 and it becomes a whole chain of games, then sure.
Yeah.
Ipso facto, like it's a new IP.
But arguably the first game is still sort of part of the previous. It's like Mario Land 3, Wario Land.
So, one, Ring Fit Adventure is the best new IP that Nintendo has put out this generation.
And probably best selling.
Yeah, I mean, there was a stat at one point where Ring Fit Adventure was the best-selling RPG to come out this generation.
I think
it is an RPG. It is a fitness RPG.
Oh, it's a turn-based RPG-ass RPG.
Yeah, it's a brilliant game. Ring Fit Adventure is incredible.
Yeah, you know it's an RPG, a turn-based RPG, because I didn't finish it. And yeah, not no, because of the fitness, because it was turn-based.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need real-time fitness RPGs, please. That sounds awful.
But I would assume they're going to revisit Ring Fit Adventure at some point. I'm actually kind of shocked that we haven't seen a new Ring Fit Adventure. Maybe that's something that comes out this fall. Who knows?
It was kind of also like a weird, like that one, it came out and did okay. And if I'm getting my timing
so
right. Like,
it did better than okay, but there was a COVID push.
Yep. Like once COVID hit, then it was like suddenly that game flew off the shelves. Like it had a very weird sales chart. Like it did fine at launch, yeah. But like it took off later. And it could even be that like that team had moved on to other things.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh crap. We're outselling Final Fantasy by a significant margin.
Yes.
Which I believe is still, Ring Fit Adventure might have sold more copies than every version of Final Fantasy VII Remake and maybe Rebirth combined. It certainly made more money.
I think the original release, did
they
really
are up
well.
To like, they've had like four releases of the original version of Remake. So,
Well, even, I mean, I think Remake, I don't think Remake topped 10 million.
No, I didn't know if like if you combine Remake with Integrate on PS4, Integrate on PS5, and Integrate on Steam, maybe if you add all those together.
Nah, I don't even think you'd hit Ring Fit Adventure. I think Remake and Rebirth combined, I think Ring Fit Adventure might still be outselling it.
Okay, I was trying to be generous to Final Fantasy.
But I think if you start throwing in the PS1 release, I think the PS1 release, including re-releases over the years.
If we really squint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ring Fit Adventure, huge success. And also just an absolute banger of a game.
Yeah.
They should make another one of those. I think that, honestly, might be the only game from this list that we ever see a follow-up to.
Astral Chain did... I don't think it did bad, but it didn't do great, right? Like,
yeah. I think it did okay. But I think that's also, because Platinum's involved with that. I don't know the state of that IP.
The random number I got when I typed in Astral Chain sales was that as of December 2022, it had sold over 1.3 million copies.
Which, honestly, for that game isn't bad.
Probably within, that was probably their expectation.
Yeah. Yeah, like I mean, let's look at this list. And so Ring Fit Adventure, most likely to get a sequel. I feel like next is ARMS or Astral Chain.
I want it to more likely be Astral Chain, but it probably is ARMS.
ARMS is owned IP, like fully.
Right.
I don't know what
the breakdown is on Astral Chain.
Comically, 1-2 Switch has already gotten a sequel.
Yeah, that.
But I don't think that has life beyond the system.
Everything we know about that game is just that like somebody accidentally made it and they were like, well, I mean, we might as well release it, and they kind of just did.
Yeah, Sushi Striker is dead last in this. They are never making another Sushi Striker. Love that game to death. They are never making another Sushi Striker.
ARMS was at 2.7 million as of December 2022.
I'm kind of like, they put a lot into ARMS, and I'm surprised they never really followed up on it. I think there was a lot of potential in that.
There was. I'm still amazed that Little Mac never appeared in ARMS.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of just modernized Punch Out.
Yep.
I feel like there's potential.
Labo's dead, as evidenced by they released Game Builder Garage with no Labo branding.
What's funny is that the last Labo they ever did, VR, actually, I believe, sold quite well.
It was very cool. It was definitely the coolest Labo.
Yeah. Like, it's the only Labo where I remember, it was a combination of it did the best, and also stores ordered the fewest.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
A combo of just making it kind of hard to find.
Yep.
You can play the entirety of Breath of the Wild in VR for some reason.
Yep. You can play a shitty Mario Odyssey mode in VR Yep. Smash Brothers in VR.
You can play like four stages of Smash Bros. Not the whole game.
So as we get to rounding out the show, was there any question that we didn't answer from that?
Let me bring it back up. Well, how do you feel about them?
I love Sushi Striker.
I love Astral Chain. I want to see more arms. Labo, I think, has run its course.
Yeah, Labo, I would love to see. I think Ring Fit Adventure is a top five Switch game.
I would, if they did Snipper Clips too, I'd probably buy it.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about Snipper Clips.
Yeah.
Snipper Clips is also one where it's published by Nintendo. They might own the IP, but it's SFB Studios. Who, if you have not played, what's the name? Tangle Tower.
And
that's the sequel. Tangle Tower is the best Professor Layton game on Switch.
Okay.
Or maybe like a very good Ace Attorney E game on Switch, but like that's made by the folks who made Snipper Clips. It's got gorgeous animation. It's a really like tight little mystery game. And they announced a second one of those. Well, I think it's technically a third one of those. Like there's like I think it's started. It's Super Flash Brothers is what SFB mm-hmm. game stands for. Their origins were the Flash, but Tangle Tower, I think, was their first console release with that character and then that series. But they're doing a second one that has been announced for Steam and is likely coming to Nintendo platforms at some point. Like Tangle Tower is incredible. Highly recommend it. I got to meet the guys who made Snipper Clips and Tangle Tower and might have heard something about Snipper Clips and they might have told me never to talk about it publicly. So
what a great story.
Yeah. Snipper Clips. Nintendo owns that IP from what I know.
Okay.
I would love to see more of that, but I don't think you can do it without SFB Games on board.
Yeah.
So I would love for that to come back. That's Snipper Clips. I believe somebody was quoted in a trailer saying it was magical.
Was it you?
It was me.
Okay.
Because it is like that game was incredible. Very, very good. So let's wrap up this episode as with two things. One, what game other than Metroid Prime 4 do you think will come out? Or, you know, like it could be like, oh, a game from this developer. Doesn't need to be like specifically naming a game. What game other than Metroid Prime 4 do you think will come out in the second half of 2024 on Switch? Follow-up question, what game in the first year of Switch 2 do you think 100% will come out?
Okay, so for 2024, I'm gonna say the Tears of the Kingdom Hyrule Warriors game.
Hell yeah.
I feel like the timing of that is roughly right.
New Warriors games. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the timing of that kind of makes sense. And also, yeah, Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity did like insanely well, and they are going to do that again.
Yeah, Three Hopes, I think, came out in 2022.
I think so.
Two plus years.
Yep.
I mean, that could have also been one of those games where they like sat on it for a while because Nintendo's weird.
Yeah. So that feels like one. And that was the first Age of Calamity, second Hyrule Warriors. But Age of Calamity was revealed in a September direct and came out, I believe, that following November. So like that would be them doing that as a surprise thing would not be.
Yeah. And also thinking about that, Age of Calamity came out in 2020. I believe Three Hopes came out in 2022.
So 2 years.
So the idea of another Nintendo Warriors game coming out in 2024 makes a lot of sense. So that's a good one.
Yeah. You should do your 2024 one while I think about 2025.
All right. My 2024 one, I'll say what I was originally going to say, but I think I like your Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity one better. I was going to say Zelda HD ports. Twilight Princess and Wind Waker, second half of the year. I mean, who
knows?
This is our last chance. Maybe we'll get like the Twilight Princess Wind Waker HD combo and a new Hyrule Warriors game. Maybe we'll be spoiled.
Yeah. We did both go for Zelda.
In lieu of that, new Mario Party.
That'd be appropriately boring for for the death rattle of the Switch.
It feels like a thing that you'd put out at the end of life. Superstars, was that 2021? It's been a long time since Mario Party Superstars, although it was also a very long time since Super Mario Party. I think comically, it is the same distance away from Super Mario Party to Superstars to a Mario Party game coming out later this year, or at least close to it.
I kind of wish they would just do DLC for Superstars. They could do Superstars 2.
I would get Superstars. Superstars is very good.
Yeah. 2025. I mean, it's probably Xenoblade.
Hell yeah.
Like, I mean, okay, for well, sure. What, for what sure game? It's Mario, but that's boring. So it's Xenoblade. I want it to be X. It's not X. It is like Xenoblade. And it's not Xenoblade 4. It's a new Xenoblade. It's Xenoblade Scarlet.
Xenoblade Z.
Yep.
Xenoblade Za.
Xenoblade Legends.
Xenoblade Warriors.
I'd play that.
I would play it so bad.
Monolith is remarkably fast and on time.
Yeah. They can hit a deadline.
They sure can. Sometimes to their detriment, as with Xenoblade 2, where I think there are some very obvious spots in that game where you're like, oh, you didn't intend this to be a gacha mechanic, did you? You intended to have quests for all of these, and then you ran out of time.
Yep. Okay.
So I think there's a potential for that. I would much rather it just be X or X2, because...
Yeah.
Hi, X ended on a cliffhanger. Please finish. Thank you.
My year one of Switch 2, if they don't have a new Mario Kart game out that year, they fucked up.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's new, or do you think they just released Mario Kart 8 again?
I think it's new. Okay. I think they could. But like, please, Lord, put out a new Mario
That's
Kart
the terrifying
game.
It's been a decade. Totally could.
It has been a literal decade since Mario Kart 8 came out.
Yeah. Yeah. This year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that was 2014.
April, I think.
Ooh. Should we do like an anniversary celebration or something?
An anniversary celebration of people sending me death threats?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Exactly.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We can do a 7.5 hour long stream.
Yeah. do a 7.5 hour long stream playing through all of the courses in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
No, 7.5 hour stream, but it's just the battle mode from the original Mario Kart 8. And anybody who doesn't think it's a 7.5 by the end of that is nuts.
Or it'll just be it'll be like 2 hours of me having a very good time with the game, and then 5.5 hours of me being like, where's the single player content? Is it over here? Is it there?
That's really good reason to play Deluxe, because there's even less single player progression than that, I believe. They took out like what few characters you could unlock. Yep. Then we'll get bored and just play Mario Kart DS instead.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I think that's an episode of Connectivity. You can email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. We'll do another episode eventually.
Yep.
All right, that's it.
Is that all
Talk
we got?
Talk to you later. Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.